just what we're talking about. But a lot of times this is the part that gets looked over, you know. A lot of times, especially the devil and the flesh, we like to put on combat boots, you know, and fatigues, and walk around in our room, you know, and cast the devil out of this, and tell the devil he's going to do that, and free this, and you got this, and blah, blah, blah. And how many knows, sometimes that's just a big show of absolutely nothing. But the devil likes it.
Yep.
Why? Because you're not doing nothing.
Yep.
No, he's saying that. Thank you, Sandy.
All right. Now, I wrote this down. We must know that we have a real adversary or an opponent or an enemy and that we're in a real fight. Because some of the devil's favorite things is to do is make people believe he's not real. There's people that do not believe the devil's real. They don't believe hell is real. They believe hell is here right now. No, it's not. And he's real. But he likes to make people believe he's not real. Why? So you won't resist him. You won't fight against him.
That's right.
Right? If you didn't know you had an enemy, you know, you wouldn't try to fight one. Or he tries to make himself, I think of him kind of like, what do you call them? Are they puff adders? Is that what you call them? Or the blowfish or whatever you call them, that they're about this big, but then when they get done, they're about this big?
Yep.
Oh, the devil really loves that. And does Hollywood really have him out on that one?
Yep.
Because he's not all that he cracks himself up to be. And over a born-again believer, he has absolutely no power except that which we will give him.
Amen.
Another thing he likes to do, if he can't make you believe he's not real, and he can't make you think that he's all that, is make you think that his voice is the voice of God.
Yep.
Yeah. You ever had that happen to you?
Yes.
Now, I wrote this down. Let me go back to my previous page here. Get into some scriptures. And I'm just going to read what these says right quick. We went over these last week. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. 1 Peter 1:13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Another translation says, gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare your mind for action.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Why am I reading these things? Because it talks about the warfare. It talks about how we're in a fight. It talks about how we have an enemy. Excuse me. One that we will turn to this morning is 1 Peter 5:5-11. Listen, you can't take one verse of scripture and build a doctrine on that. The Bible must say it at least 2 or 3 times. You hear me?
Yep.
That's how some people get messed up.
Yep.
The Bible talks about how we're to rightly divide the word of truth. How do we do that with other word of truth? 1 Peter 5, I'm going to start reading for time's sake in verse 5. He says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, this is a big thing here that the devil will get you with if you don't cast it. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Now, we talked about last week, he's not necessarily talking about people being drunk. You can be drunk on this world and the things of this world in your mind. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, not your husband, not your wife, not your neighbor, right? We went over Ephesians 6:10 last week and 11 and 12. He says, because your adversary, not God's adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. It doesn't say he is a roaring lion. It
That's
says
right.
as a roaring lion. He's been what do you do to cats? Declawed? Defanged or whatever? He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That tells me he cannot devour anybody and everybody.
That's right.
He's looking. He says, whom resist, steadfast how?
In the
faith. You keep him over in the arena of the fight of faith, you'll whoop him every time. You let him get you out of it, he'll beat your brains out. He says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now look at James 4. Why am I reading these? Because it talks about our adversary. We have one, right? So there's no need in you, him trying to tell you that we don't have one. Scripture says we do have one. Here in James chapter 4, verse 5. He says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now that's the second time we read this in two books, right? So there's a real big thing about humility and grace. The humble get the grace. The proud get resisted. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist who?
The devil.
And he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. But notice that. He says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I've heard some say if you're submitting to God, you're automatically resisting the devil. To a certain degree, I can agree with that. But how many of us, I know I'm supposed to submit to God. But if I don't know that I have an enemy, and my enemy is the devil, I might not stand against him. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6, it says, stand against all the wiles of the devil, right? Let's go over to Ephesians 4. Yeah, Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. I think Zach's going to put that one up for us. We're not going to get quite as... Y'all really missed it last week that wasn't here. We're not going to get that dramatic this morning as we did last week, slamming the doors and rolling the eyes and all that stuff. They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's why you should come to Sunday school. It says Ephesians 4, verse 17... He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, that's kind of like living any way you want to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. What is he talking about? He's not like that. Jesus is not, don't do those things. He's not like that. Verse 20 says, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Another translation says that you put off the conduct of the old man. How many knows you was one way and you got born again and the Bible says now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new and all things are of God. But how many knows I can still choose to walk in that old man, the way he used to do, the way he used to talk. I can still do some of that if I choose to. But he says there, he says, put him off. Put off the old man, he says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. We got into some of this last week. This was the real dramatic part. You wouldn't think you'd have to tell Chris to stop lying, would you? Y'all ain't saying nothing. He says, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Remember we went over some of that last week? How that you're at Walmart and there's a new cashier or something or other, and you're having to wait in line and you just got a bag of dog food or maybe a thing of milk or something, and you're, Y'all ain't never done none of that. How do I know that? I've done it.
Yep.
Why? Because I want you to know that I'm in a doggone hurry. Let's get the lead out here. I got places to be and things to do. Don't everybody there?
Yeah.
Right.
Not Scotty on Saturday. He just lollygags around. He says he's been in a hurry all week, so on Saturday, I mean, we go 45. And I am a 55 kind of woman. If it says 55, I want to do 55 or 60. But he says there, he says, be angry, but sin not. See, now I can feel angry. I can be angry, But if I let you know it, by my attitude, or rolling my eyes, or the things that I say, I don't know about y'all, but if I ever open my mouth, if I'm mad and I ever open my mouth, it's like the gutters will dam.
Yeah.
It is, it's all going to hang out now. There's no stopping it. So it's best to just be angry and don't ever open it if you don't need to. Sometimes I'll tell Scotty, let's don't talk right now. And he ain't learned yet, Sandy. You'd think after, what is this, 36 years, the man would know when I say, let's just don't talk right now, please. He would think, let's just don't talk right now. It's just really not a good time. Just had one of these a couple weeks ago. I told you, because I can feel it. I can feel it rising up. I feel like a volcano. And I'm trying to get a hold of myself. Get a hold of my flesh. Keep it reined in. Be angry and not sin. And he wants to talk. We're coming out of the restaurant. I told him, I said, let's just don't talk right now. No, we need to figure out where. I said, let's just don't talk right now. We need to figure out where we're going to go, what we're going to do. I said, can we please just not talk right now? Mama, he just would not stop. I said, well, let's talk then. Let's just do it. Oh, no, now I've hurt his feelings. He don't want to talk now, then I'm letting it out.
That's right.
He's the sweetest thing, Monty. So if somebody might tell you, or you tell somebody, I'll get a clue. Let's just don't talk right now. The Bible says, we're going to read it in just a minute. Give the devil no place. I'm trying my best, Joni, not to give the devil no place, and the man just won't allow it. Now, we didn't say that one last week, did we?
No.
I didn't tell that story. That must be for somebody new. Where do we get to? 26. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Now, notice this one. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 27. Notice, what do you call that? A colon? There, whatever, them two little dots. He's not finished, in other words. He says, neither give place to the devil. So, good one. So, number one, lying, he says, you're going to give place to the devil. Why? The devil is the father of lies.
Yeah.
He created lying. So, if I'm tempted to lie, guess who's pressuring me?
Yep.
And why? He wants a place. He says, be angry and sin not. He says, but let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, if you do get angry, which I'm sure y'all won't, but if you do, don't sin and don't keep it till after dark. Why? Because if you're not careful, you're going to give the devil place and he will get inside you a root of bitterness, the Bible talks about. And how many knows it is way easier to get rid of the anger once it comes than you let it stay there and fester and get a root of bitterness. He says, give the devil no place with that. So I don't care how mad you get, what they did. Listen, you're not forgiving them and letting that go for them.
Right.
When you hang on to that stuff, it's kind of like Joyce Meyer says, you're drinking poison, but you're expecting them to die. It's not going to happen, honey. You're going to die.
Right.
Thank you, Monty. You're the only one. He says, 28, let him that stole steal no more. He's talking to Christians. You wouldn't think you'd have to tell Christians quit stealing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And notice this. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. Y'all realize how many times he's mentioned wrath and anger in just a little paragraph here? That must be a big one.
Yep.
Well, I tell you right now, I don't smoke no dope no more, but I will bust you in your mouth in a second. I wasn't saying that. You might be better off to smoke you a joint. According to my Bible, they're about the same.
Yep.
See, we like to put things in little boxes and categories up here. You know, strife and bitterness and anger is not as bad as smoking dope and committing adultery and fornication.
Right.
Oh, hello. Murder. Is it worse to steal a cracker or kill somebody? Now, you won't get the same jail time here. But to God, it is what?
Same.
It's both in the Ten Commandments, right? He said right here, don't lie, don't steal, right? Don't get angry. He puts it all in the same category. Sin is sin. But we like to have categories to where we make it not too bad. We like to tell those what I call little white lies. Y'all ever tell any of those? Ain't no, y'all gonna say, I'm telling you, this side over here is real. Y'all are going, yeah, we might have did a long time ago, but they're like, I told y'all last week, if you don't really want to know what I think about your dress, please don't ask me. I will do it as nice as I possibly know how, but I'm not going to tell you, woo, baby, that thing is knockout gorgeous. And then get over it, that's the ugliest thing I ever seen in my life. We do this stuff in church.
Yes, we do.
That's right.
My, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Well, if you don't want your feelings hurt, honey, don't ask me.
That's right.
Why? I can't lie. If I don't want to know what you think, then I shouldn't ask you. If I ask you what you think, I'm wide open for your opinion to ask for.
That's right.
I mean, for real. But we'll do these what we call little white lies. There are no white lies. If you're lying, you're giving place to the devil and hit to come in and to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. That's the only reason he comes. According to John 10, right? So I have to put away all lying, whether they're white or black. They're all black, but I can paint it white if I want to. That's going real good, I can tell. Where'd we get to? 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He fully, go over to Ephesians 4, I mean 6. He fully intends the grace he gives me, I'm to give to other people. The love he gives me, I'm to give to other people. The forgiveness he gives me, I'm to give to other people. Right? Now here in Ephesians 6, verse 10, we read this last week, got started on it. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. One translation says, be strong in your union or in your fellowship or your relationship with the Lord and in the power of his might, not in my own strength and my own ability. Why? I don't have any outside of him.
Amen.
So Jesus himself said, apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
But we're not apart from him, right? He goes on and he says, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. And hopefully we'll get to that in a later teaching. But he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He didn't say to stand against the devil, even though we know we are to stand against the devil. We read, when we first got started, two verses that talks about our adversary, the devil, right? Whom submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee, right? Well, he says here, I'm going to get my glasses back on. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles, when you look it up, it talks about delusion, deception, trickery, traps, snares. Why? That's all he has.
Yep.
But he is the master. You'll never meet anybody. I said this last week. I kept hearing this last Sunday morning when I was getting ready to come to church. Silver-tongued devil. Why do we say that about somebody? Because they're very good liars. They're very good, we call cons. God, we could hear a pin drop in here. Y'all been conning? I don't think I have. Anyway, he says, stand against the wiles of the devil. What's he talking about? Stand against the tricks of the devil. Why? Because that is his game.
That's right.
And he's been doing it for millenniums. I don't know how long he's been here on the earth. Oh, yeah, but I'm smarter than the devil. No, you're not. Not in yourself.
Nope.
Now, we got the Holy Ghost. He's smarter than the devil. We put on the mind of Christ, right?
Yep.
We're supposed to think in line with Scripture, right? But far as in myself, apart from him, not yielding to him, no, absolutely not. He's already got me food if I think that.
Yep.
But he says, stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, notice this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We read this a while ago, right? The devil is our adversary. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and this is from the lowest to the greatest. He says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Y'all remember Jesus said, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. He's not talking about there's no light outside.
Right.
The Bible talks about how the God of this world has blinded the minds of people that are not born again. That's darkness. There's rulers over that darkness. He says of this world, he says in spiritual wickedness, which should be translated wicked spirits, he says in high places. Or we would say heavenly places. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, he says, stand therefore, and then he starts talking about the different pieces of armor. So, we've seen already, we have an adversary, right? Who is it?
The devil.
The devil. Now, he goes by many, many names. I wrote some of them down. The devil. Satan. Abaddon. Apollyon. Serpent. Beelzebub, which is the, it talks about how he's the prince of flies.
Yep.
It's nasty. Flies are just nasty. Every time they land, they're pooping somewhere. Yes. He wasn't created, the devil.
Right.
Some people think that God created the devil. No, he didn't. God created Lucifer, son of the morning, day star, the anointed cherub that covered it. He did not create him, Satan. Now, let's look at some of the stuff that how he got to be who he is today, okay? And it'll help us. Let's go over to Isaiah 14. Listen, if you hear teaching or preaching or whatever, and it makes you scared of the devil, either it's not right teaching or preaching, or you're not hearing it right.
That's right.
Especially if you're a born-again believer. Now, if you watch TV, and you watch some of them movies and some of them shows, why do you think they are like that? Why do you think that, listen, the devil never comes at you as the devil. The Bible talks about how even him and his spirits, they transformed themselves as an angel of the light, his ministers. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you'd never let him in if he come at you as the devil.
That's right.
Right? The trickery, the deceptions, the delusions, that is his thing. But here in Isaiah 14, we're going to start reading in verse 12. And he's talking about the devil here. He says, how art thou fallen from heaven? Y'all remember the scripture? I wrote it down here. It's in Luke 10:18. Jesus told his disciples, he says, I saw they come back. They had given power and authority over demons, and they had been casting them out. And y'all, you know, remember the story? They come back and they said, Jesus, even devils or demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, you know, don't marvel at that or be glad about that. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Yeah. Right? It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. So evidently he wasn't there to begin with.
Nope.
It says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So he had a throne. Y'all get really quiet. Pay attention to the scriptures. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. It says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. So evidently he was below them.
Right.
I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, Satan knows how God operates. How does he operate? God believes in his heart and he says it out of his mouth, and bam, it takes place. It happens. Right? We go back over and read the account of Genesis. What happened? God said the Holy Spirit was hovering. God said it. Boom, it comes to pass. Right? The devil's trying to use some of this, Sandy, on God himself. How many knows this works, but not against God?
No.
I don't care how much you decree a thing and declare a thing. Not against God. He goes on and he says, 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? When we really see him as he is, we will be so surprised. Remember what I said? He makes himself out to be such a big, bad something or another. And he's not. He goes on and he says, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. He goes on and he says, all the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. Now look at Ezekiel 28. Now this starts out, God is talking to a man and about a man. When you go and you first start reading it. But where we're going to pick it up, you'll notice God switches and he starts talking to someone that is operating through the man. We'll see this in just a minute. Ezekiel 28, we're going to start reading in verse 11. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, so he's talking to a man, notice it, about a man. He says, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, that thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. This king of Tyrus had not been in Eden in the garden of God. He's not talking to the king or about the king anymore. He's talking to the one that is operating in and through him. He says, 13, thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. There's no earthly man that every precious stone has been his covering. He says, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pots was prepared in thee day that thou wast created. Ain't no man in, got no pots growing out of him.
Right.
He's talking about the devil. The chapter starts out talking about and to the king of Tyrus. But then he switches over and he's talking about the one that is operating through the king. Now listen, this will tell you how come that we're told to pray for leadership. I don't care, children should be praying for their parents. Why? You don't get devils, parents get. Why? Because the thing about the devil and demons is they're looking for influence in the earth. They don't got no body. They don't got no mouth that has vocal cords like me and you. So they're going around and they're looking for somebody that has some influence in the earth that will yield to them, give them place so they can do their will. Without that, they cannot accomplish the things they want to accomplish. And the thing about God is God's looking for the same thing. God's looking for a vessel that will yield to him. Why? So he can take over the earth again.
Amen.
Why? Right now the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, the cosmos. He's the ruler of this world system. And you say, well, Jesus took it back from him. Yes, he did, but guess what? He's still the ruler of this earth, and the only place that they don't rule the darkness is where the light of Jesus Christ has shined in, and Christians are taking authority.
Right.
Just like this land right here. I know the man, excuse me, I don't know personally the man that owned this. Scotty does. I don't know if he was a good man, bad man. I don't know what he was, so I'm just making this a hypothetical, okay? At one time, this was a feed store. At one time, this was the old skating rink of Blossville. Excuse me. So this building has been several different things. Just for an example, say that man was an ungodly man. Did ungodly things here. He probably did, but I'm just saying. Okay, how many of us, God wants this building. God wants this land. God has a purpose and a plan for this building and for this land. Well, what's got to happen for God to get it?
Christian has to acquire it.
You got it. If God wants it, then that means he's going to have a Christian that'll go buy it from an ungodly man. Why? Now you've changed ownership. Now you've changed what'll take place. Now you've changed the influence that was taking place in this place to a different influence now. It may have been a bad influence in the whole community, the whole world. I don't know what it was. But now it can be a voice for God. in God's people. So we're told to pray for those in authority, not down them. I guess probably most people have heard now about Biden going up the steps, and I saw that. That was awful for the poor man. A lot of people saying a lot of bad stuff about him. I don't agree with him, don't like him, don't want him in there, nothing whatsoever. But God never told me I'm supposed to backbite him. Right. God told me I'm supposed to pray for him. Yeah. Why? Because the influence is here to lead my life.
Yeah.
Right. People, you may see them act and be and want to do one way and be truly sincere in their heart. And they get up there, oh, I'm telling you, you don't know the devils they deal with. Why? Because whoever runs that runs the world.
Yep.
You have no idea the demons they deal with. The lies, the traps, the tricks, the deceptions, the delusions that they deal with on a daily basis. Why? Because of the influence that they would have here in the earth. So why would demons not want to take authority over them? Why would they not want to deceive them? Why would they not want to lie to them and get them to believe it? That's how come you can see a person be one way, and when they get in an office, a higher place of influence, it seems like they changed overnight. Because something started influencing them. And that's what he's talking about here. He starts talking about this king of Tyrus, and then he switches to the one that is influencing, that is working through him to do the things that he's doing. Where did we get to? Y'all remember?
14.
Well, let me read 13 again. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So we see how God created him. Beautiful. He's in pipe for music. He's covered with every precious stone. He's beautiful. He goes on, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. There's no way he's talking to a man or about a man. It says 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Notice, you was perfect. He did not create him, the devil. He says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Notice, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up. This is pride. God didn't create him with pride. God created him beautiful. He was an anointed cherub that covered, and it was covered with every precious stone. He was absolutely beautiful. Don't you just love it, these people? I mean, they're like an hourglass figure, tiny little things. Just eat a nibble every now and then, and they're so full. So they only weigh about 115, 120, 25 pounds. Just beautiful. Got just the right skin tone. Beautiful shaped eyes. And they think they all that in a bag of chips. You had nothing to do with it, honey.
Right.
Nothing. Thank you, Mama and Granny, for these jeans I have. The fat ones. And on my daddy's side, whatever jeans they contributed over here, it's big ones, I can tell you. Now, I can control how much I eat or don't eat. Now, don't get me wrong about that. I can't determine my eye color. I mean, I didn't ask, oh, I'm laying in the crib, you know, or in the womb as an egg, said, hey, I'd like to have blue eyes, please. No! They determined all that.
Right.
Y'all ain't saying that.
Right.
Y'all think y'all look all that good? Really, I mean, some of us do, but others think, maybe not so hot. But what my point is, you had nothing to do with it either.
That's right.
Mac, your mom and daddy determined what you look like to a certain degree.
Yeah.
That's like Travis. He is so hairy, and he hates the stuff. Well, I'm sorry, your mom and daddy contributed. Oh my goodness, he came in the other day and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm waxing." Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Well, there's other people.
I mean, some men, they would like to grow a little hair.
Right.
They can't grow a smidge. I mean, they got a little patch here, a little patch there, a couple of little twigs, you know, and they're in their 30s. Well, bless their little heart, they didn't have anything to do with that.
Right.
Their mama did. I'm not talking about all those transgender pills. I'm talking about natural. I know we can change things nowadays, a lot of it. I'm talking about natural. I didn't choose my hair color. Now I do now, Meg. I make it what I want it now. But thank you. But when I came out, I didn't choose my hair color. Do you realize that's what he did? God created him the most beautiful, anointed cherub, and he got eat up with himself.
Yep.
Mm. And he said, "You was beautiful." He said, "In the day you was created." He said, "Until iniquity was found in you." God did not create anything with iniquity. God did not create anything with sin. And at that time, that's why he's telling him, now iniquity has been found in you, and now you think you're all that, and now you're going to ascend above God, the one that created you? I don't think so.
That's right.
But that's how he got to be the devil. And the thing about him is, he wants us to do the same thing he done.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Why? He wants all of us to go to hell with him. Because he can't change his go where he's going. We can change where we're going.
Right.
He can't change it. He's down. That's the end of that. But he wants to take all of us. Why? We are God's beloved.
Right.
We are created in the image and likeness of God. Adam and Eve was to Adam was in the beginning. Created. Even Lucifer was not created in the image of God, even though he was beautiful. But Adam was created in the image and the likeness of God himself. And if you want to get me, go after my kids. You ain't saying that. I know I keep the nursery and do different things around here. I know what y'all think about your kids. They used to tell Scotty, I mean, he was a, whoo, boy. It took me a long time to help him. He'd say something about Travis, they shouldn't be doing this to him or that. I said, "Scotty, it's your kid over there. The boy can't even find his halo." So I know what some of y'all think about your kids. I'm not fooled. I'm not fooled by yours or mine. Was I? I'm not fooled about my grandkids either. They think I am, but I'm not. What verse we get to?
17.
What was it?
17.
He says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." Mm. So that's what made him so proud. He thought he looked so hot.
Yep.
And he did. He goes on and he says, "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by raising of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror and shalt thou be any more." But he wants to do with us, get us to do the same thing he done. Now I've got a few minutes. We'll go ahead and start this. We'll get to finish it. Go to Genesis 3:1. Now we're talking about spiritual warfare. Y'all didn't know this was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some different on the way to church this morning because I could feel it. Listen, anytime you're going to bust the devil about something, you better believe you're going to get some resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel it this morning, and I told him, "Oh, no, you're not."
That's right.
Mm-mm. Nope. I bind you up. I cast you out. I cancel your assignment against God and God's people. You will not hinder or stop the services this morning. You won't hinder us from hearing.
Amen.
None of that. Verse 1 says, now this, so, well, let me go back up just a little bit. Over there in Genesis chapter 1, let's look at that for a second. It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void." What? Now I have my own personal little theory about this, and y'all can go check it out, believe what you want to from scriptures or whatever. I think the devil was already here. Reason being, I never know God to create anything without form and void when he created it. He created Adam, he's perfect, he's complete. He took a piece of Adam, he created Eve. She's perfect, she's complete. Neither one of them are without void or without form. And when did Jesus say, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven?
Right.
No other person has ever said that I know of in the Bible except him.
Right.
So it looks to me like that if it could be seen by a human being, they would have seen it too, wouldn't you? Now, this is just my theory from scriptures, what it says. And then it starts talking about how that God said, let there be light, and there was light, and all of that stuff. So this is the story about creation. Then you get over here, he's done created Adam, and done created Eve, and done told them, put them in the garden. And told them, you can eat of all the fruit of the trees except that one over there. Don't mess with it. Don't eat it. I mean, Sandy, how greedy can you be? You got 99, but that one's mine. He goes on here, verse 1. He says, now the serpent was more subtle. That word subtle means cunning, crafty, slick, we would call him. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Listen, people, there's nothing new. He has nothing new. He's not all that big and bad. This is where he starts out. Whatever God told you, he's going to come to contradict whatever God has said.
Yep.
To get you to thinking on it. To get it twisted just a little bit. Let's read on here. We still got a few minutes. It says, yea, shall you not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, who knows God told them they couldn't eat of every tree of the garden?
Yep.
He says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She is not confused.
Right.
We're not confused by what God has said, right? We read the scriptures. Give the devil no place. Stop lying. Right? Anytime you yield to lying, you're yielding to him, you're giving him place to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right.
She says, so she's not confused about it. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Oh, really? You can tell a white one, Sandy.
Right.
It's going to do you good.
What do you think?
Really, that's how he works. Exactly. You can't really tell him what you did. Because if you really told him what you did, that would just be.
Yeah, we could hear a pin drop. Yep.
This is what he does. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. They can't get any more like God than what they are right now.
Right.
They are clothed with glory. They walk and talk with God Almighty himself in the cool of the day. They are like God. But it's the lie. God's holding something back from you. Don't you kids do that? Well, how come I can't go over there? Johnny gets to.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't ever hear. I was the only one that heard that.
No.
And I wasn't talking about you, Johnny. It's another Johnny. Travis would do that to me. He'd want to go here and there and everywhere, you know, like the rest of them did and all that. And we would tell him, no, you're not going there. No, you're not going to do that. They're not going where you're going. You understand? Mm. You're not going to act like they act. You're not going to do what they do. Why? Because I know the reason why they're doing what they're doing and where what they're doing and everything is going to lead them to, and he ain't going there. Why? Right. I'm the protector, and his daddy is the protector of him.
Right.
And you ain't going. And if you go, I'm going to whoop your little tail, and you still won't go again.
Right.
Listen, what she should have done is the second he started talking. We would have done the same thing because that's where we came from. We came out of Adam. We would like to think we would do something different because we have the book now.
Right.
But we would have done the exact same thing. We're from Adam's loins. I mean, please. But I would have liked to have thought, I would have said, listen, I don't talk to strange snakes, man. I just don't talk to strange snakes. I don't know you. I don't want to talk to you, so shut up. And if you keep bothering me, I'm going to go get my husband now, and it's not going to be good for you. That's what we need to do to him now. According to, what is it, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5? Casting down every thought, every imagination. What's he doing? Giving her thoughts against what God has said. What's he do to us? Give us thoughts against the knowledge of God, what we know about God, what we know God has already said. Why? There's nothing new. He doesn't have anything new. But, oh, he is the master at delusion and deception and tricks. He'll even make you think you're winning. It's kind of like that show, the Cowboys and the Indians. I got to stop because time is up. He never comes through the front door. He makes me think of some of them that's in office. That anytime they don't want you to say something right now on the TV or whatever, certain parties, they create a diversion over here. So if they're talking about Japan, you better look at China.
Yeah.
Why? That is exactly what the devil does. I've got to stop because time is up. Well, I don't know how long we'll be on this.